Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. The 21st Commonwealth Games begin Wednesday on Australia's Gold Coast. The Aussies have a proud history when it comes to staging these games. This will be a record fifth time Australia has hosted the International Sports Festival, following Sydney in 1938, Perth in 1962, Brisbane in 1982, and Melbourne in 2006. The Aussies also have won the most medals at the 20 previous Commonwealth Games, a total of 2,218. More than 6,500 athletes from about 70 countries, including 18 African nations, are expected to participate in this year's games, which go from April 4th to April 15th. The opening and closing ceremonies will take place at Carrara Stadium in Queensland, which also will be the venue for the athletics competition. And speaking of athletics, reporter Samson Omale joins us now with some Commonwealth Games news regarding Nigeria and a high jumper. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. We begin with the Commonwealth Games, and with less than 2 days to go to the opening ceremony of the Games in Gold Coast, Australia, the indefinite suspension of transfer allegiance by the International Association of Athletics Federation, IWAF, has stopped British-born Nigeria high jumper Mike Edwards from representing the country at the Gold Coast 2018 Commonwealth Games. The IWAF said the freeze was largely for the purpose of protecting vulnerable African athletes from being poached by other nations. However, the 27-year-old Edwards, who is a part of the 37-man athletics team already in the Gold Coast, took to the social media Friday to protest the decision of the World Athletics Body in preventing him from representing Nigeria at the Commonwealth Games. We stay with athletics as Zimbabwean Justin Kimboi Cheseri is the winner of the 49th edition of the Two Oceans Marathon in Cape Town, South Africa. In the women's category, the first place was claimed by South Africa's Grenda Steyn.
I'm so happy to be here today and in first position. It's a dream come true. 2 years ago, I was 14th place. I didn't run last year. Unfortunately, I had to miss that one. But I've seen a lot of improvement in the last 2 years, and I'm just so grateful to be here today in first position.
Olympic 5,000 meters champion Vivian Cheruiyot has said she will only retire if she wins the marathon gold in Tokyo 2020. Vivian Cheruiyot says she believes that the 2020 Tokyo Olympics will give her a perfect opportunity to bow out in style after a stellar career. Cheruiyot is also preparing for this year's London Marathon later this month, where she will be facing defending champion Mary Kitiani.
Now I have graduated to longer distance as the year has gone by. I hope to do an Olympic in marathon before I hang my spikes.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In U.S. college basketball, a player with ties to Nigeria made a thrilling last-second shot for Notre Dame to lift the Fighting Irish Ladies to the women's national title in Columbus, Ohio. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Arike Ogunbowale. Remember that name. The Notre Dame third-year player sent shockwaves through the final games of this year's NCAA Women's Tournament. The tremors began in the semifinals with Notre Dame's stunning upset against UConn. With the game tied and 1 second remaining in overtime, Arike hit a three-point game-winning shot at the buzzer and put everyone on notice, including basketball great Kobe Bryant, Kobe is a known UConn fan, and after giving a shout-out to the team, he sent a congratulatory tweet to Arike, writing, "Big time shot, Arike. We are a UConn family, but we love seeing great players making great plays. I know my little sister is happy. Well done. Good luck on Sunday. Hashtag Mamba mentality." And Arike responded, "Wow, my life is complete. The greatest of all time." To which Kobe wrote, "Nah, it's complete by finishing the job on Sunday." Well, call him Coach Kobe, because finish the job she did in dramatic fashion. In case you missed it the first time, Arike hit the game-winning shot again in the final game against Mississippi State. With the game tied 58-58 and 3 seconds left, Arike took an inbounds pass and floated a perfect three-pointer, leaving a tenth of a second on the clock. That jumper sealed the 2018 national title for Notre Dame. Shockwaves. Arike won Most Outstanding Player honors in the NCAA Women's Tournament, and she comes by her talents honestly. Her father is from Nigeria, where he played soccer and rugby, and her brother Dare is an NFL running back for the Washington Redskins. After the championship game, Dare proudly tweeted, "My baby sister." By the way, Arike's name means something that you see and you cherish. Well, she is living up to her name, and Notre Dame basketball fans will be cherishing her last-second shots as well. I'd actually like to add to that. Arike, maker of shockwaves, and she's only a junior, so look out next year. So, hey, guys, top that. Monday night, it's the men's turn. The championship game will be the Battle of the Cats. The Michigan Wolverines will face the Villanova Wildcats in San Antonio, Texas. And I'll have an update for you tomorrow. Still in the U.S., let's go to Florida, where U.S. players have swept the men's and women's titles in the Miami Open. On Saturday, Sloane Stephens defeated Jelena Ostapenko 7-6, 6-1 to win her first Miami Open. After the match, Stephens said focusing on her own game was the key to her win.
"I really just focused on myself and made sure that I was the best version of me, and no one can take that away from me. And I think I didn't have to, you know, whatever people said, whatever, it is what it is. But now I'm here and I have this beautiful trophy, and no one will ever be able to take that away from me. So I'm just going to walk with my head high and, you know, embrace it."
This year marks the last time the event will be played on Key Biscayne, and the Florida native said winning there is particularly poignant.
Obviously, this place is pretty special to me. I grew up playing tennis here. When the USTA was here, we played Orange Bowl and all sorts of tournaments here. So I'm definitely happy that I could be the last person to win here. I've had some amazing experiences here, and I'll definitely miss it. But I think, I'm just feel fortunate that I was able to do that here in South Florida with all my friends and family watching.
Sloane Stephens is now ranked in the top 10 in the women's tennis rankings. On the men's side, American John Isner claimed victory at the Miami Open, winning the biggest title of his 14-year career. Isner defeated Alexander Zverev 6-7, 6-4, 6-4. Isner is the first American man to win the event since Andy Roddick in 2010. Isner says winning the title is the best moment of his career.
It's incredible. I mean, somewhere along in the second set, I found a second wind, and I felt so much better in the second set and the third set than I did in the first set. So to win like that in front of a crowd like that, that with that atmosphere, you can't replicate moments like that. It was absolutely amazing.
And Isner talked about his journey back to the top 10.
"Having coming in here won one match and to leave this tournament top 10 in the world. I think I got there in 2012 and I got back there in 2014. And now I've matched my high ranking in 2018. So I've done it three times. And it's up to me now to keep pushing forward. This is a big hurdle for me, mentally more than anything."
The Miami Open ends its 32-year run in Key Biscayne, but the tournament will stay in Florida. New tennis courts are being built in a nearby stadium that will host the Miami Open next year. And that's all for now, with more to come. Back to you, Sonny.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association news, All-Star center Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers had surgery over the weekend to repair a broken bone around his left eye. The 76ers say there's no timetable for Embiid's return, but reports say the injury could jeopardize Joel's appearance in the first round of the NBA playoffs. The young 24-year-old star from Cameroon was injured last week when teammate Markel Fultz accidentally headbutted him while driving toward the basket in a game against the New York Knicks. Embiid immediately hit the floor and remained there for several minutes before eventually getting helped off the court. Embiid also suffered a concussion in the collision. Embiid was sidelined his first two NBA seasons with foot injuries, and last season Joel played in only 31 games because of knee problems. The 2017-2018 season was proving to be a breakout season for Embiid. He's averaging about 23 points and 11 rebounds a game before that surgery near his eye, and we hope he's back in the lineup soon with clear vision and his head clear from that concussion. With Embiid out of the lineup Sunday, Philadelphia beat the host Charlotte Hornets 119-102 for the team's 10th consecutive victory. That's the longest current winning streak in the NBA. Another young star for the 76ers, 21-year-old Australian-American Ben Simmons, had 20 points and 15 assists. In a matchup between Texas-based clubs, the San Antonio Spurs beat the visiting Houston Rockets 100-83 to snap Houston's 11-game winning streak. LaMarcus Aldridge had 23 points and 14 rebounds for the Spurs. The Rockets still have the NBA's best record, 62 wins and 15 losses. And with five games left in the regular season, the Rockets will have home court advantage throughout the NBA playoffs. In Cleveland, Ohio, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers defeated the Dallas Mavericks 98-87. Now, LeBron struggled a bit before extending his record double-digit scoring streak to 866 games. On Friday, LeBron broke Michael Jordan's NBA mark for consecutive games with at least 10 points. Against the Mavericks, LeBron finished with 16 points, 13 rebounds, and 12 assists. That's his 17th triple-double this season. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I mentioned Michael Jordan. Well, Jordan was enshrined in the Basketball Hall of Fame in 2009, and I'm sure LeBron James will one day join him there. Over the weekend, the Basketball Hall of Fame announced a 13-member class of 2018, which will be officially inducted on September 7th in the eastern U.S. city of Springfield, Massachusetts, where the hall is located. The class of 2018 will include former NBA stars Steve Nash, Jason Kidd, Grant Hill, Ray Allen, Maurice Cheeks, and Charlie Scott. They'll all receive their sport's highest honor. Former women's players Tina Thompson, Katie Smith, and the late Ora Mae Washington will also be inducted. Ora Washington died in 1971 at the age of 73, and she was also an excellent tennis player. Also in the class of 2018, executive Rick Welts, who's the president of the reigning NBA champion Golden State Warriors. He'll also be inducted in September, as well as another NBA executive, Rod Thorne, former college coach Lefty Drizel, and former Croatian star Dino Radja round out the Basketball Hall of Fame's class of 2018. Well, 4 days ago, Major League Baseball officially began a new regular season. That March 29th starting date marks the earliest opening day in Major League history. In New York last week, the weather was cold and cloudy, but that didn't dampen the spirit of diehard Mets fans, about 40,000 of them who showed up at Citi Field to cheer on their favorite club. Among those on hand was VOA's Adam Phillips.
Who meet the M-E-T-S Mets from New York?
Mets ahead 3-2. Here's a 1-2 pitch.
Hang on, Mets. He got him.
The number 7 subway train that brought Mets fans to Citi Field in the New York borough of Queens was packed with people wearing the orange and blue colors of their beloved home team as it geared up to play the St. Louis Cardinals. Just outside the stadium, native New Yorker Michael Portnoy refuses to let the damp, chilly air dampen his first taste of springtime happiness.
Listen, the weather's not cooperating, but take the weather out of it. You have a gorgeous day. It is what it is, man. Look, the Mets is what we are about New York. I'll tell you this much. I have no passion for the Yankees whatsoever.
Meters away, a saxophone player who calls himself Dr. Rich has been blowing his horn for Mets fans near the stadium security checkpoints where fans like Portnoy must wait in long lines to get in. For years, Dr. Rich has considered himself to be as much a part of the Mets atmosphere as hot dogs, beer, and the buzz of the crowd.
I consider myself a part of the environment, but today they didn't have music at all, so felt like it was my duty to come out here and entertain the crowd while they were waiting in these long lines to get in. I'm their fan. I'm out here for them. And I noticed when I first sat down and I started playing, people started smiling and because I took them away from that and gave them some joy.
Are you a Mets fan yourself?
Can't you tell? I mean, look at all my gear. Come on now.
Tell me what you got on here.
This is the actual helmet that they've used in game. You know what I mean? So, you know, it don't get no more fanatic than that.
Marisol Castañeda Salgado, a social work student from Mexico, is proud of the Mets shirt she's wearing.
Yes, because I know that's the opening day, and I'm really excited about it. My family, it's a baseball family. They call it in Spanish pelota, and I think I got that from them. And also my boyfriend, it's a Mets fan, so he introduced me to the team. So now I'm wearing a T-shirt. Let's go, Mets.
That's just how a beefy Brooklyn fan named Tommy feels.
I'm feeling pumped right now. It could be our year to go all the way if we stay healthy.
Tell me a little bit about it. Why do you love the Mets so much?
I was born and raised with the Mets blue and orange, so it's kind of stuck. Through the bad times and good times, you know, we're all Mets fans here. We all remember the Mets from 86 and 2000 and 2015, so, you know, that's what makes us unique from everybody else.
While every Mets fan hopes for the best, Danny Fallon and Earl Delaney are coolly assessing the actual strength of this year's lineup.
Not bad, not bad at all. You got Cespedes, you got Bruce back, you got Frazier. I'm excited about this year, but I'm always excited, so you never know. I don't know. You know, team's good, stay healthy, see what happens.
There is no other choice.
The Mets are your guys.
Mets are my guys.
Swing and a liner to left field. That's going to be a base hit. Fielded by Ozuna.
Nearby, Kevin Smith is here with his young kids. Keela is dressed in a girly pink Mets jersey, while Thomas sports the uniform of an unaffiliated American boy. Kevin says their spring break from school, plus his own nostalgia, explain why they're all here today.
Well, it's always good to get the kids out, and I don't want them to be playing on the video games and iPads all the time. And I remember when I was a kid and my father taking me to the ball game, I was probably 8 years old, and the first time going through the tunnel and seeing the big diamond and the big field and the players, I had goosebumps and I was just so excited, and it's a memory that I'll never forget for the rest of my life, and I want to pass that on to my kids.
Posterity aside, no one can deny that winning games adds to the thrill here and now. And so, there were very few sad faces at Citi Field when the Mets handily defeated the Cardinals 9-4. Fans pray that's the beginning of a winning streak that will continue through the long, hot summer days to come and on to the World Series. In other words, go Mets!
All the fans are true to the orange and blue.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is VOA's Adam Phillips reporting from New York.
The Mets of New York Town. Give them a yell, give them a hand, and let them know you're rooting in the stands.
Thanks for that feature, Adam. And if we have any Mets fans keeping score this evening, the Mets beat the St. Louis Cardinals in their first two games of the season before losing to the Cardinals on Sunday 5-1. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In pro boxing, Anthony Joshua is talking about becoming an undisputed world heavyweight champion after beating Joseph Parker in Cardiff, Wales. Joshua was taking the distance for the first time in his career before winning the 12-round bout by unanimous decision. Two judges awarded the fight to Joshua by a score of 118 to 110, and the other had it 119 to 109. AJ won his previous 20 fights by knockout, but he struggled to land many clean shots against Parker. Hey, AJ, talk to us about going the full 12 rounds.
It's boxing, it's a 12-round fight, so if I like saw boxing as knocking people out all the time, I think my coach would never push me to do like 15, 16, 17 rounds when I'm training. So I do understand it's a 12-round fight. And Klitschko, 11 rounds. Takam was 10. So we've always been in the realms of going 12 rounds if we need to. And today was the first time and we coped with it well. So on to the next now.
And will Anthony Joshua's next fight be against WBC heavyweight champion Deontay Wilder of the United States? Well, AJ knows there's one missing belt if he's to become the first undisputed heavyweight champion since Lennox Lewis in 2000, and that is Wilder's WBC belt. After Joshua's victory in Cardiff, Wilder posted a video on Twitter shouting into his phone, "Joshua, Joshua, stop playing and pick up the phone." For his part, Anthony Joshua says, and I quote, "I will get all five belts. It's not an issue." Well, one possibility that's been reported is that Joshua and Wilder might sign a two-fight deal with one bout here in the United States, where AJ has yet to fight, and the other in Britain. Joshua sounds open to fighting in the USA.
Me personally, yeah, but we have to see what's best as a team, do you know what I mean? But me personally, it is really good in the UK. It's comfortable. Time zone is what I've been used to for most of my life. I haven't got to travel loads of hours across seas and disrupt my sleeping pattern and stuff. So I think for those reasons, I like the sound of fighting in the UK. But if there was a healthy offer or something on the table, then it would make sense to go, wouldn't it? But there hasn't been that, so we're comfortable in the UK while we're doing what we're doing.
That's world heavyweight boxing champion Anthony Joshua, and he was speaking in Cardiff, Wales. With his victory over Joseph Parker in Cardiff, AJ added Parker's WBO belt to his own WBA, IBF, and IBO championship belts. Finally, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook. My address is facebook.com VOASunny. And that wraps up the April 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Combating wildlife trafficking is a priority for the United States, said Deputy Chief of the U.S. Mission to the African Union, Jessica Davis, at a workshop on illegal wildlife trafficking held recently in Addis Ababa. To enhance cooperation and collaboration, we work closely with countries that are the sources of wildlife being trafficked and are building strong partnerships with demand and transit countries. In addition to our extensive United States Agency for International Development investments in biodiversity conservation throughout Africa, our Department of State Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement invested $40 million in the last 5 years to combat wildlife trafficking in Africa, she said. The U.S. has also provided the African Wildlife Foundation $4 million to strengthen regional law enforcement capacity to combat wildlife trafficking and support canine units in Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, Cameroon, and Botswana. As well, the Department of State gave the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime $6 million to strengthen prosecutorial and judicial capacity to combat wildlife crime by increasing prosecutions in Kenya, Tanzania, and Botswana. Recognizing the value of scientific innovation, Ms. Davis noted, we provided almost $1 million for wildlife DNA forensics to improve the collection and analysis of DNA evidence. Through this project in Gabon, Tanzania, and Kenya, our partnerships ensure that enforcement agencies and the scientific community leverage the potential of wildlife DNA forensics. Together, they are improving the production of intelligence generated from illegal wildlife seizures to disseminate data for law enforcement action. The U.S. also supports the Horn of Africa Wildlife Enforcement Network. The purpose of the 3-day workshop was to formulate a common language or data dictionary for the full range of Geographic Information System, or GIS, databases to allow interoperability and help harmonize information across the continent. Setting shared GIS database standards is critical, said Deputy Chief Davis. Given the growing sophistication of wildlife traffickers, no single law enforcement official or agency or nation, for that matter, can fight this battle alone, she said. This is our shared fight. Setting shared GIS database standards is critical to us all playing on one team.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Lenore Moudou, host of Health Chat. World Health Work Week is April 2nd to April 6th, and next week we will discuss the global health worker shortage with Dr. Vanessa Carey, founder of Seed Global Health. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. VOA. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. and our 5 minutes newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we continue our discussion about presidential transitions on the continent. We'll take a closer look at Sierra Leone, where a troubled runoff is underway. Sierra Leone's Supreme Court approved the Election Commission's request to delay the runoff presidential vote after the lifting of an interim injunction that had stalled preparations.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.